Virginia says that when I have my hearing aids on, which I do, I don't speak loud enough. So I'm going to turn my hearing aids off. Turn them off. Now maybe I'll speak loud enough. Thank you, Ed, for your lesson on prayer. I would say that prayer is something that each one of us needs to concentrate on and have as a part of our lives. Certainly I need to have more prayer in my life. I'm trying to do that, but I need more in my life. As most of you know, as all of you know, planning to go to the Philippines, Dwayne and Anita and I plan to leave Wednesday. It's not a vacation. It's work. I wish that each one of you could go, that you could experience what we experienced in the Philippines. And it's a wide range. You know, some of it is in the city, or it's congested and, you know, modern and all the convenience. You can buy anything in the United States you can buy over there. Then there's also the rural places where the people are, you know, in shacks that are up on stilts and don't have any roads, don't have any electricity. And, you know, it's just a wide spectrum of what the people are like over there. But they're still people, and they still need the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we plan to go over there and present that and to talk to the brethren, meet with various churches, about 20 different churches that we hope to meet with over there. We plan to go to 4 or 5 different islands. You know, the Philippines is a bunch of islands. And pray for us. We certainly need your prayers as we're going over there. One of the things that we do is we preach when we're over there. We talk to the people, sometimes in groups, sometimes in the pulpit. And so we asked them ahead of time. He said, "What do you want us to speak about?" One of the things that they asked us to speak about was witchcraft. And so this morning, I prepared a lesson about witchcraft, and I'm going to give you a lesson about it this morning. I am not an expert in witchcraft. I have not experienced witchcraft or seen witches to my knowledge. But I do know what the Bible says about it. And I'm going to present to you what I know that the Bible talks to us about witchcraft. And believe it or not, there's witchcraft and sorcery in the United States. And we need to be careful here, too. The Philippines is sort of different in the sense that in the cities, people are modern and they know about Christianity, at least from the Catholic Church. In the mountains, are very primitive people. And sometimes they're even a different color, a different race, different makeup of people. And sometimes they have more witchcraft, more witch doctors in the mountains. And so it's probably more appropriate of a lesson for those people up there as they deal with witches and witch doctors and so forth. And how do they deal with that? Also in Africa, I understand there's similar things, that they have a lot of witch doctors that they consult. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, God spoke directly to man, didn't he? We're told that God walked in the garden and communicated with Adam and Eve, and he was right there. They had the close communication with God. They didn't have to, well, do I believe in God or do I not? No, there's God. He's right there. And they communicated with him. But after the flood and as time went on, people were distancing themselves from God. God didn't talk to them directly. Most people. No, there was few like Abraham and Moses that God talked to directly. But most people didn't talk to God. Didn't have direct communication with God. And so there was this distance. And eventually people forgot about God. But yet, people everywhere see that there is a God, that there has to be a higher power. There has to be something bigger, more powerful than me in the world. And so they would make gods of things around them. And they would pray to other gods. They were superstitious. Well, surely the things that happened to me, all the bad things that happened to me, must be because the God is displeased with how I'm living. And so what do I do to please this God? And so they would offer sacrifices to their idols. They would make idols of cows, and they would make idols of owls, and they would make birds and all sorts of creatures that they would make idols out of. And they would worship them because they were thinking, well, if I can please this God and offer sacrifices and pray to this God, then perhaps that God will help me and make things go well in my life. And when things are going bad, oh, it must be that I've displeased my God. So people began to make idols of things and seek for guidance from other than the God of the universe. Well, God does not want that. So God gave the Ten Commandments. The first commandment of the Ten Commandments is, you will have no other gods beside me. Why did he say that? It's important. He's a jealous God. He wants no one to have any other God besides him. The second commandment is, you will not make an idol, an image of anything, whether in the sky above, which includes stars or birds or anything that's in the sky, the sun or anything. You won't make any of the planets. You won't make anything of those as a god. Nothing on the earth, any animal or creature, you won't make any gods out of them. Or anything that's in the sea and underneath us in the sea, you won't make a god of anything. Because I am a jealous God. I visit the iniquity of those who displease me to the second and third generation, and of those who please me to 1,000 generations. I am a jealous God, and I want you to worship me only. So God was very purposeful and direct. You will have no other gods. You will worship no other gods. And yet, the peoples around them, that they were the nations that were around them, they worshiped other gods. They sought guidance from their other gods. They had various means of communicating, of how they attempted to communicate with other gods. And God, the Holy Father, said, no, that's why I want you to destroy these nations, because they are so corrupt and they are worshiping these other gods. I want you to destroy these other nations. And so God made various rules, gave them through Moses, of things that he did not want the Israelites to do. He did not want them to be involved in other gods. And so part of the what witchcraft and sorcery is, it attempts to take power from another god, to assume power from another god, to guidance, what the future holds, that's from other gods. In 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 5th verse, it talks about, yes, there are other gods, so-called gods on the earth, gods and lords, but there's only one God that created everything and from whom we are in Jesus Christ the Lord, through whom everything is. So we're told, yes, there are other gods, there are other things out there that people worship, but we are to worship only the other God. You remember in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, in the armor that we're told to put on, the spiritual armor. He talks about the fact that, yes, there are other powers. The battle that we face is against powers and authorities and principalities and spiritual forces of evil. So, yes, there are other forces out there. God is not the only power in the world. There are other powers. There are other evil forces out there. Yes, they're not as powerful as God the Father. And we fight against them, and with God on our side, we can conquer. But there are other powers out there, spiritual powers. The devil is a power. The Satan is a power that people get their source of power from, their guidance from. They worship Satan. So there are other powers out there, but we are not to worship those other powers. We are not to have anything to do with them. In fact, we are to war against them. That's our spiritual warfare. Well, in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, there were certain provisions that were given on what the Israelites could do and couldn't do. And so when they were to enter the land that God was to give them, they were not to imitate the other nations. They were not to live like the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and all the different ites that were out there, because they worshipped other gods. They do detestable things. And one of the things that they did is they would offer their children as a sacrifice to these other gods. A terrible thing that they would do. But it was their attempt to worship this God and get the favor of this God, these other gods. It says, you're not to sacrifice your children in the fire. That's a terrible thing. That's one of the reasons I want to destroy these nations, because of all the evil practices that they're doing. It says, you're not to practice divination or sorcery. You're not to interpret omens. You're not to engage in witchcraft. You're not to cast spells or have mediums or spiritists or to consult the dead. You're not to do any of those things, because these are detestable things that these people do. So God warned them that they were not to practice the things of the nations around them. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. He said, the nations that you're getting ready to dispose and get rid of, they practice these things, and I do not permit you to do that. So let's look at some of the forbidden practices that they had. Well, first is witchcraft. Witchcraft is the practice of witchcraft was a means for extracting information or guidance from a pagan god or Satan. Are there witches today? Yes, there are witches today. And we think of the Salem witch trials and how that witches were burned at the stake, and we think, well, that was, you know, people were superstitious. That there really aren't any witches. But yes, there are witches. There are people today who worship Satan. Who worship Satan. And the witches are those who perhaps make spells and seek guidance from a pagan god or from the Satan himself. And that is something we are not to do. Sorcery. Many of the practices that were forbidden was sorcery. That's the use of power gained from the assistance or control of evil spirits, especially for divining, especially for seeing what's happening, what's the answers of life, what's in the future, what should I do? What give me direction and guidance? So sorcery is this practice, gaining power and assistance from the evil spirits. Divination, that's the art of practice that seeks to foresee or foretell future events or discover hidden knowledge, usually by the interpretation of omens or by the aid of supernatural powers. So do people do that today? Yes, they do. They seek to have divination. Spiritualism. A belief that spirits of the dead communicate with the living, usually through a medium. And does that happen today? Yes, that happens today too, even in the United States. And a medium is an individual held to be a channel of communication between the earthly world and a world of spirits. So a seance would be where a medium tries to communicate with those that are dead or spirits and get information from these spirits. And does that happen today? Yes, that happens today too. I want to go later on. I didn't mean to forward to this slide. In the Old Testament, there were prohibitions against these things. For instance, in Exodus, the 22nd chapter, in the 18th verse, it says, "Do not allow a sorceress to live." So, you know, the witch trials of Salem, if they really were witches, I don't know if they really were witches. In the Old Testament, it says, don't allow a sorceress to live. They were to kill them. It says in Leviticus, the 19th chapter, do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20:6, I will set my face against the person who turns to mediums and spiritists. to prostrate himself by following them, and I will cut him off from his people. And then Leviticus 20 and 27, a man or woman who is a medium or spiritualist among you must be put to death. You are to stone them. Their blood will be upon their head. So there was capital punishment for people that, under the law of Moses, there were capital punishment for those who followed after these sorts of things. And does it happen today? Well, the capital punishment doesn't happen today. But are there these kinds of individuals today? Yes, there are. Even in Galatians, the fifth chapter, remember where in Galatians, the fifth chapter, it lists the fruit of the Spirit or these things, and then it lists the works of the flesh or these things. And one of the things that it lists there is sorcery as a work of the flesh. I remember years ago, when I was living in Phoenix, I was a teenager, and we went to the state fair, and I had another fellow with me that was going to church with us, and he wanted to go. There was a fortune teller there at the state fair, and he wanted to go to the fortune teller. I said, "No, I don't think you should." Ah, he wanted to go in there. He went in there and was there for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes or whatever. Came out, he was shook up. He was so scared from what the individual had told him. Is this something we should do or should not do? Should we go to fortune tellers? They're around us. There are people. I had a good friend at work who was into this sort of thing, who had tarot cards and would foretell the future of that. You know, there were exhibitions at the Windermere Hotel. Sometimes they do that, maybe every year, I don't know, in which they have these spiritists come and they have these seances and they have foretell the future and they various things that they do. It's here, even in Sierra Vista. These sort of practices occur. And these are things that we're not to be part of. Because they take power from, if they're true, if they have any power. Some of those are fake. Some of them are, you know, they're just people that are out to get your money, to get a quick buck. But some of them actually communicate with evil spirits. And there are other powers. The Bible says there are other powers. There are evil spirits that has power. And we are not to have anything to do with those sorts of things. We do have an example in the scriptures of sorcery, of divination, of medium, and that's in Samuel, 2 Samuel. This is where David was gaining the favor of God, and King Saul was the king at that time, and he had disobeyed God. You remember he was told to go to the fight against the Hittites and that he was to totally destroy them. Well, he didn't do that. And because he didn't do that and he justified himself in his disobedience to God, God turned his back on him and was going to give the kingdom over to David. Well, the Philistines, who were the people of power at that time other than the Israelites, they came up against the Israelites and Saul was afraid of them. They were a very powerful nation. And so he went to prophets, and he went to Urim, which is a stone to foretell the future and what happens. He went to dreams. He tried everything he could to find out what was God's will. Should he fight against these Philistines, and how should he fight against them? But God would not answer him. God would not talk to Saul, would not communicate to him. And Saul was very much afraid for his life. He was afraid that Israel was going to be destroyed, and he was going to be killed. And so he decided he would go to a sorceress. He decided he would go to a medium. And so he did that. And he said, search out. Where is there a medium that I can go to? Some other power than God. He wanted to search for some other power from God because God wasn't communicating with him. But prior to this time, Saul had destroyed all the mediums, all the sorcerers in Israel. So there weren't any. But he found out that there was this one woman who was still a sorceress, or still a medium. And so he said, well, find her out. I want to go to her. So he goes and he disguises himself. He puts on a disguise so that people can recognize that who he is. And he goes there to her and he says, I want you to be able to bring up for me somebody that I ask you to bring up. And she says, what are you trying to do? King Saul has forbidden that practice. In fact, you know, people are being put to death and punished for that. You're going to risk my very life if I do this for you. And he says, I swear that nothing will happen to you. Nothing will, you won't be persecuted if you bring this person up from the dead that I'm asking you to do. And she said, all right, I'll do that for you. And so she said, who do you want me to bring up? And he says, I want you to bring up Samuel from the dead. Now, Samuel had died several years before that. And so now she's asked to bring up Samuel from the dead, and she attempts to do that, she becomes very afraid. She's frightened to death. She says, you're Saul. What do you mean? You're tricking me. You're trying to get me killed. He says, no, no. What did you see? What did you see? And he said, I saw an old man come up with a mantle on him. He says, that must be Saul. That must be Samuel that you have brought up from the dead. What does he say? And so Saul communicated to him and he says, I've tried every means to talk to God and God has quit talking to me. And Samuel says, well, the reason God quit talking to you is because you disobeyed God and you justified yourself. And God has turned his back on you and he's given the kingdom over to David. And the Philistines, they're going to kill you today. And your blood is going to be on the battlefield. And he's going to kill your son too. And Saul was just beside himself. What would you think if it was predicted that you were going to die that very day? And Saul was just beside himself. He fell on the ground. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't do anything. He was just terrified that this was what was told him. Well, they said, the woman said, well, you know, I took my life in my hands, but now let me approach you and eat. You've got to eat. You've got to get some strength. So finally she persuaded him and the men persuaded him and she gave him something to eat. So this is an example that we have in the Bible. Whether or not Samuel actually come up from the dead or not, that's debated. Some say, yes, obviously he was communicating to Saul. Others said, no, that's impossible. Can't do that. I don't know, whichever way it was. My purpose for telling you this story is to communicate that there are these individuals called mediums that attempt to communicate to the dead. And there are scriptural basis for the fact that, yes, they are doing that. And we are not to have anything to do with this. We are not to go to mediums. We are not to go to spiritualists. We are not to go to the occult. That's things that God does not want us to participate in. We have another instance in the scripture about this. And that was, you remember that Philip went down to Samaria in the Acts of the Apostles. Philip went down to Samaria and he talked to the people there in Samaria and he converted a lot of people. And there was one individual there called who had made himself out to be great and that he was a sorcerer. And he did magic and he persuaded the people that he was some great power. And so whenever Philip went down there and the apostles later came on and they laid their hands on people and people were able to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they were doing miraculous signs were occurred. This sorcerer said, well, I want that power too. He had been baptized, but now he was saying, well, hey, I can see that what you're doing is genuine. You're doing genuine things. You're not tricking people. You're not using magic. I want to have that power too, that whoever I lay my hands on will have the miraculous power. And so he attempted to buy that. And of course, he was rebuked by Peter. He says, you know, your money perish with you. You thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. He said, pray to God that the very thought of your heart may be turned away and that you may repent from this. And the sorcerer said, well, pray for me. You know, I'm convicted. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Pray for me. But this was another instance. The reason I'm telling you this story is this is another instance of sorcery in the Bible, of this sort of power, seeking power and guidance from spirits and from the devil that God does not want us to have anything to do with. Okay, so what are some forbidden practices? What are Christians to do? Do not be a witch, a sorcerer, a diviner, a fortune teller, a medium. That's kind of obvious, isn't it? If God doesn't want these sorts of things, and he hates these sorts of things, we are not to be any of these sorts of things. We're not even to be close to those. We're to stay away from this sort of practice. But we're not to consult any of these individuals as well. And let's look at them. How about a fortune teller? There are people, like I said, at the state fair, somebody that will tell your fortune. You may see signs. You may look in the newspaper. You may see ads of various places of fortune tellers who were willing for some money to tell you what your fortune is, what's going to happen. And maybe a palm reader, they'll look at your palm and say, be able to tell you what your future is going to be like based upon the lines of your palm. It could be a somebody that has a crystal ball that's going to look into the crystal ball and tell you what the future is. It may be that they're going to read tea leaves or coffee grounds or any of a number of things that they look at to tell your future. And you're not to participate in any of that because they're seeking the power that's not from God. God knows what's in the future. And you're seeking the power that's other than God, and you should not do any of those things. That's sorcery, to try to seek what's in the future. Horoscopes. The newspaper has horoscopes in it, doesn't it? And what is that? That's to say, well, the position of the planets and the position of the stars are such a way that this is what your future is going to be. And there are astrological signs it's all very popular with many people today. We should not be looking to horoscopes because that is seeking to know what the future is based upon a power other than God. And we should not do that. That's something we should avoid. Astrology, tied perhaps to horoscopes, but that's to look at the position of the stars and everything. Big study. Lots of people put a lot of stock in the astrological signs and the where the stars are, where the planets are. We should not do that. Palm reader. I mentioned a palm reader before, people that tell your future based upon your palm. Tarot cards. I mentioned that. I don't know if you're familiar with tarot cards. I have seen them. I have not actually had anybody tell my future, but there are these cards that have various pictures on them, and the devil, they have death on there, they have various things on these tarot cards, and somebody that's practiced in these things can deal the deck and turn over the cards, and based upon what the cards say, know what your future is going to be, what's going to happen for you. And you should not have anything to do with it. These are evil things. You should not participate in them because they're seeking to know the future, know things that only God knows about. And we should not seek to know these things. Ouija board, I don't know. I haven't seen an Ouija board in many years. I don't know if you're familiar with an Ouija board. I remember I used to have one. And my father was very displeased with me for using my earthly father for having a Ouija board. A Ouija board is a board that basically it's a yes and a no. You ask a yes or no question, and then two people sit down, put their hands on this little movable piece, and based upon, and you concentrate and meditate real hard, and you ask a question. Will I find my true love? And so you meditate about that, and it moves either to the yes or to the no. And you ask different questions of it, and based upon how the movement of this little piece is, it answers your question. Again, it's not from God. God has the knowledge of the future, and these things seek to have the knowledge of the future from powers that are other than God. And we should avoid them. God hates things that are to seek to know to worship other idols, to worship other gods, and to seek to consult the future from powers that are not from Him. So we should avoid these sorts of things. Seances are using a medium. You know, may go into a dark room pray and meditate and seek to communicate through a medium to somebody that's dead. Are there seances in the United States? Absolutely there are. People that seek to know, to communicate with their dead loved one that has gone on before. I want to talk to George. I miss George so much. And so they go to the medium and try to communicate with George, who is dead. No, that's not anything that we should have. That's forbidden in the Old Testament, forbidden for us to do that. We should not have anything to do with that. Well, there's one other thing that I want to talk about. Many years ago, Virginia went to a doctor, medical doctor, in Phoenix, who was into Edgar Cayce. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Edgar Cayce or not. Edgar Cayce was a man who would go into these trances, and he would get these readings of things to do. And part of it was medical in nature. If you do these sorts of things, use these herbs or use this medicine or whatever, this will help you. And so he would get these readings, and I guess the person that was with him would write them down, and people would study them. And these medical doctors that Virginia went to put a lot of stock in what this Edgar Cayce, this spiritist, was doing. She was a medical doctor, and Virginia had a couple of miscarriages, and she was not wanting to have an additional miscarriage. And so this doctor said, well, if you use castor oil pack, this will help you so that you can go to full term. And so a castor oil pack is you take flannel and you pour castor oil on it, and you put the oil next to your skin, and that will promote health within your internal organs. And so this was a reading from this guy, Edgar Cayce. And so Virginia used that, and as a result, Heidi was born. And we'd go back to the doctor, and they say, oh, there's the castor oil baby. They put stock on the fact that Heidi was born because Virginia used these castor oil packs. Now, should Virginia have done that? This was something that came as a result of an individual that was getting readings from Edgar Cayce, and he was getting these special spiritual insights. To me, this is similar to something else in the Bible, and that is eating food sacrificed to idols. 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, 1 Corinthians the 8th chapter talks about eating food sacrificed to idols. And he says, you know, an idol is nothing at all. You know, we know that there aren't any other gods, that God is the only God of the universe. So if you eat food that's sacrificed to idols, and you know that it's not an idol, it's not a real God, you can go ahead. God has purified everything. You can eat anything. But if their brother sees you eat food sacrificed to idols, and they don't have the same conscience as you do, and they say, that's a sacrifice to an idol. That's sacrifice to this God. I'd be worshiping this God by doing that. And so you offend their conscience and you cause them to stumble. He said, if you do that, I would never even eat meat the rest of my days rather than cause somebody to stumble. So my judgment is that if it's not offensive to, there may be some things that the witch doctors, that the people that have the readings like Edgar Cayce, that are beneficial. We still use castor oil packs today. Virginia and I, when we get sick, we get the flu, we get the diarrhea, we put a castor oil pack on, and it helps us. Castor oil is a very penetrating, it's not, used to be used that you drank castor oil, and it served as a laxative. That's not what we do. Put castor oil on a flannel and put it on our abdomens, and it helps us. We've even found it being beneficial today. I don't have any conscience, and I hope you don't have any conscience problem with using that sort of thing if it's beneficial. But if somebody were to come to me and said, that was given as a reading of Edgar Cayce, and you're following Edgar Cayce because you're doing this, and you're submitting to spiritists and mediums and things of that nature, I wouldn't do it. To me, it's similar to eating food sacrificed to idols. So my advice is, if you can in good conscience not worship those idols, not give any power to those idols, but receive some benefit from them, okay. But if it causes your brother to sin, I wouldn't do that. You didn't know Heidi was called the castor oil baby? That's what the doctors used to call her. Pardon? Yeah, through God she's here, absolutely. Well, I want to leave us with the thought that let us worship God only. I don't know if I had, I deleted that slide too. Mark, the fourth chapter, talks about Jesus, that he was tempted by the devil. Do we believe he was tempted by the devil? I believe he was tempted by the devil. Remember that the devil tried many ways to get Jesus to succumb to him and to worship him. And what did Jesus end up saying? You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And that's the bottom line of this. You are to worship God only, serve him only, and all these other powers that may be out there, we're to avoid them. We're not to seek to receive guidance from fortune telling and communicate to the dead or any of those things. Those are things that God is displeased with, and we do not want to participate in them. Let's worship God only and serve him only. So I leave the message of the morning for you. Let's have a song of invitation at this time.